Turn to page 151 in your books there, 151. And let's stand and sing together this morning. Praise Him, praise Him. He's worthy.
Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him. Eyes dark angels in glory. Strength and honor. Give to His holy name. Like a shepherd.
Seated.
It's good to be back. That's what I'm talking about. I was just thinking that message I preached last week, I think I'll have to do that one again. Without the hoarseness, you know what I mean? And I'm getting there to where I can do that. So y'all get ready. I'll just do that one again because it was worth hearing again. I thought I'd get an amen, but it's okay. We'll do it anyway. And I appreciate people picking up the slack for me a little bit. I took a week off. Sometimes a man needs a week off, especially when you're an old man like me. Oh, I wanted him to say that. I'll pay him later, okay? Yeah. It's good to see everybody here today, especially those who have come back. I love it when they come back, don't you? There was a TV show came out some years ago. It was one of those scary ones, and the theme on that thing was, "I'm back." Y'all remember that one, I'm sure. I don't like scary stuff. I can't sleep. It makes it, when the dark happens, lights go out and it gets dark, I think about that stuff and it just, no, I'm just kidding you. I'm the one who drives the monsters away. Y'all glad to be here? Me too. In just a few minutes, Les is going to share a song with us. And we do have, as Gene said earlier, we do have some COVID people in our church. Some have gotten over it, like myself and a couple others. And it's a five-day deal. I can tell you, if you haven't gotten it, it's a five-day deal. Went to the doctor, and she said, "I'm going to put you on a five-day, like a steroid pack, you know, five-day deal." And she said, "You'll be good to go." So I'm good to go. Not only did I take the steroid pack, I got my voice back somewhat. It's not completely back, but it'll be there. You know how I test my voice around the house? Ain't nobody there but me and the dogs, and they don't care. I try to sing a song. And if I can't sing a song, I know I'm not ready. And I haven't been able to sing a song, but I have started a few, you know, like, well. Y'all know that one? It's named Well. Good to see people laugh, especially in the midst of uncertain times, you know, and this has been not a short time. It's been about 3 years of uncertain times, a lot of uncertain times. But I serve a certain God in uncertainty. He's everything to me. Always has been and always will be. Yes. So if our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our morning offering and Les can share that song with us. God has just been so good to us. And if you're here this morning, He's good to you. You're able to get out and breathe and see the fresh air. I was telling the boys when we were coming over to church this morning, I said, "What a beautiful morning, boys." And Nate said, "I love those boys. I have to wake them up a little bit every now and then, but when they smile, you know they're awake and they're my buddies. We're going to get out and go fishing and do some things. We are. Let's ask the Lord to bless this offering, okay? Les, would you do that? Amen.
You can't be here. She just jumps right in there and just does a beautiful job. Amen. Yeah. Well, years ago, my dad sang this song. Years ago. I can't tell you how many years it's been. But I always loved this song. This is a wonderful song. It's a worship song. But to me, it's for you to truly worship the Lord. For you to truly worship the Lord, you first have to start each day with one ingredient. You have to be thankful. You have to be thankful. You can't get up and ask. Our God loves us. He takes care of all of our needs. And He wants us to ask for things when we need them. But sometimes we just ask and ask and ask, and we never take the time to thank Him for what He's already done in our lives. Does that make sense? See, if you thank Him right off the bat, it's going to be a good day, whatever happens. It ain't going to matter. God's going to get you through it. He loves us. We're His children. So we're going to worship with this song this morning. Just sing it with me. As the chorus kind of repeats itself. But it's a great song for us to all sing this morning. All right, Mr. John. John, you might turn that music up just a hair. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for. You, Lord, who came to save the heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, yet gives me strength with thine own.
Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Lord, lead me home from temptation and purify me from within. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit, and Lord, take away all my sin. Lord,
prepare me to be the sanctuary.
Sanctuary for you.
like that song, don't you? Like that song. Brings back a lot of memories. As Les said, I used to sing that 50 years ago. And it's as good a song now as it was then, because it's the truth. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a feeling about that by the time this service is over, I'll be like I was last Sunday morning. It's okay. I don't care. It's okay. As long as you can hear the words, and that's what really counts, it's okay with me. Okay, a couple Sundays ago, we had a really super service here. We had three people that we baptized. It was great to have water in the baptistry. It was. And I haven't been able to get away from that. If you remember what I preached, a short, very short message, because I was getting into the baptism, but it was identification with Jesus. Do we identify with him? Y'all remember it, right? Do we identify with him? It's important to identify with Jesus. Not just to talk about him, but to identify with him. Let people know everywhere you know him and he's yours and you're his. Such a great feeling to know that you are one of those. Did I slip that in on you pretty good? That you're one of those. You're one who identifies with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one and only. You identify with him. Well, I went through verse 41 of chapter 2 of the book of Acts, if you remember. No, I went through verse 42. I slipped on down and went through verse 42. Well, I picked back up on verse 42 this past week. Monday morning, I get back in the study. You know, I've preached Sunday, and Monday morning, I get up. I'm getting ready to have a little time with my preacher brethren for a Monday morning meeting at 10:15. But before that, I have my time, and I began on the next Sunday morning's message. And I was reading the scripture that I'd done on that scripture, the verse 42. And I read verse 42, and I said, well, now that's a new beginning. And it is. When you read verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that's what we were doing that day. That gladly received his word. That's what you do when you get saved. You gladly receive it. Because it's life to you. What you're doing is you're receiving the life that he's given you. Before that, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. But when you accept Christ as your Savior and you believe, you gladly receive his word and are baptized, you become one of those. And the same day, there were added unto them about 300,000... or not 300, 3,000 souls. My figures, I didn't have a good math time in school, so they slip up. Or I add zeros. I wish they'd do that for me at the bank, but they don't. But they added 3,000 souls. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful? And I believe that we could sell more people on the idea of being a Christian if they knew that all of a sudden, there were 3,000 people added to the group. Because you know how we are about big. Oh, yeah. What we would want to be a part of that. Yes. And so we'd say, well, I want to be one of those. I am one of those. If you all will see this large group of people. Well, it wouldn't matter if it's 3,000 or 3. If you're one of those, you don't have to have the big crowd. You don't have to have all the entertainment in your Christian life. I'm for entertaining kids. I'm for trying to get our kids in church and keep them here as long as we can. I'm for that. But we adult Christians ought not have to be entertained. The best entertainment that we ought to have is the Word of God. And so now I'll keep trying to read without interrupting myself. And they continued, and here's what they did after they got saved, after they believed the word, received it gladly. They continued, and I believe you will. There I am interrupting myself again. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Began right away getting busy for God, didn't they? And fear came upon every soul. This is where we're starting today. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now the reason they're doing that is because they became one of those. They became one of those. So that's what they're doing now. And folks, when you become one of those, you become a crazy person. Right? The world says they're crazy down there. They're crazy down there. We've had people say, well, you preach too loud. Tom teaches too loud. Tom teaches much louder than I preach. So if y'all want to hear somebody who can teach loud, come on, Tom can do it. He'll spare you not, I promise you. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Man, don't you want to be one of those? Yeah. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It just thrills my heart for someone to get up out of their seat, walk forward and say, I want Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's a soul added into those. Us, those that are saved. Let's ask the Lord to bless this scripture, okay, just for a moment. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for being with us this past week, giving us back our voice to where we could preach for you. And I just pray, God, that you'll bless whatever comes out of my mouth today, that it'll be from the heart of you. And we praise you, Lord, for everything you've already done. We praise you for what you're going to be. Let us be that sanctuary. Lord, you prepare us to be that. I want to be that sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. We thank you for everything you're going to do here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I've got to ask you, are you identified? It's going back a couple weeks. Are you identified as one of those by the world? That's who identifies you as one of those. You know how it is. I made a big mistake one time. I'm not on Facebook today. I guess we just never wanted to set it up. But anyway, I didn't think it was a mistake, but it evidently was to the other group. We were having a program at the VA Theater for Amy. She was Miss Jonesboro, maybe, and she was going to the Miss Tennessee pageant, and we were going to have a little gathering, a little fun thing, you know, and so we had the VA Theater reserved, and we were going to have that. Well, this other group came in and needed to have the theater up to a certain time, and we agreed that they could come in and have their program and be there. Well, come time for them to be gone, they weren't gone, and this preacher got a little huffy. If y'all know what huffy is, Y'all know about preachers getting huffy. Well, I got a little huffy because we had been, you know, kind and generous and let them come in and do the program. And when I said something about it, they said, well, you don't own this place. So I got a little huffier. That's a good word, you know, huffier. I put it in the dictionary myself. And anyway, I made the mistake of saying you folks, you people. That was you people, not you folks. You people. You people. Well, they were of a different group than us. And I didn't realize I'm from Irwin. I'd say you people to whoever it is, no matter what your color, you know. I'd say you people because that means you people. You know, it's pretty simple. But they wanted to make a big deal out of it and make me one of those other kinds of people that you're supposed to detest, you know. I'm just telling you a little short story. I'm chasing a rabbit first, and then I won't chase it later. But anyway, I said that, and we all got over it, and they went on their way, and we had our program, and everything went well, and God blessed, and everything's good. So, I'm asking you, are you one of those people? Are you a you people? Are you one of those? Do you identify as one of those? And does the world identify you as one of those? Now, if the world doesn't identify you as one of those, you're not doing very well. Could I tell you? My dad, when he'd have Bible school back years ago, you know, you had kids who were outstanding, and we would try to recognize kids who were outstanding. He said one year, and I never will forget it because it made so much sense, you know, some kids aren't outstanding, but some kids stand out. So he said, we're not going to have the outstanding kid this year. We're not going to vote for an outstanding kid. We're going to vote for the person, the kid who stands out more. And there were a few of those. I got a feeling that if some of you had been in Bible school about that time, you'd have been one of those that stood out too. But if the world calls you one of those, do you personally agree with them? See, it's important that not only they say you're one of those because they recognize that you're different, that you're in a group that is different than the rest. It's okay to be different, folks. And a child of God ought to be different than this old world. And if the world's calling you that, would you agree? Now, if you don't agree with what they're saying, you're not going to be what you need to be. You can't be. You have to agree that you are one of those. Now, I'm going to read some scripture to you. It's important that we do that today because from the scriptures we get this awesome message that we are either one of those or we aren't. So in Acts chapter 16, if you would turn there, we'll read this together, okay? Acts 16, verse 27 through 34. You see, Paul knew that he was saved. He did. Do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're saved? And if you are so positive that you're saved, you'll be one of those. So we're going to tie this together. Here's what he said. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Don't worry. He was one of those. Did you catch that? The spirit that Paul had there? He's one of those. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, What must I do to be saved? Now, why do you suppose that he would be asking that question? I can tell you why. Because he was in there around one of those. That's why he was asking that question. Had he been around a bunch of Christians who never talked about salvation, never talked about sin and getting forgiveness of it, what would he have known? He wouldn't have known to ask that question. He knew something was wrong with him because he wasn't one of those. So he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Get them all. If you're going to go fishing, take a big boat. Right? And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Was he one of those? He was one of those. Washed their stripes and was baptized. He and all his straightway. Then, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. My kind of guy. He's one of those. Set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What a wonderful household that must have been that day. That a man got saved, and not only did he get saved, all his house got saved. They could talk about all the same things because they were all one of those. Amen? It is so good when we're together with all of those whom we're one of. Now, some of y'all hadn't figured this out yet, and some of you did, I know. This comes from a song by Casting Crowns called Crazy People. Hey, like that. Go look it up and listen to it and you'll see what I'm talking about today. Because the whole song's in here. If you want to go do that. Are there any doubts that you're saved? None. Are there any doubts that you're born again? Are there any doubts that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus? And are you a Bible believer? So easy for this world to say, "I'm a believer." Believer in what? In fact, I would ask you, do you know what you believe? Are you a Bible believer? Do you believe that what is written from Genesis 1 to the last word of Revelation, do you believe every bit of it is the inspired word of God? If you're one of those, you do. Because, see, that's what the world says. We're crazy. We're crazy if we believe a Bible. We're crazy if we believe what was written down thousands of years ago. We've moved on from that, they'd say. No, we haven't. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. The Bible doesn't change. So, are we ashamed or are we unashamed? To be. Amen. Boy, I like the way you're interjecting here. We're unashamed, right? We're unashamed that we're one of those. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says this. I'm going to turn over here and read this. I don't want to miss a bit of this. Because he says, and I didn't give that one to you, John. Don't look for it, son. 2 Timothy 1:12, and here's what it says. If I can get back there, I will, I promise. And here's what it says. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counteth me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now that's what Paul was saying. That's what God made of him. Now what has God made of you? Where do you stand with him? What is your relationship with him? Do you know where you stand? If you don't, you need to know where you stand. The Bible says that we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those, there's that word, of those that believe. Folks, we're different. We're different. Let's take that and go with it. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Let the world catch up to us. We don't need to catch up to the world. Sometimes I think Christians are trying to catch up to the world. First thing I heard when the gambling joint went in up here at Bristol's, I got to go up and see what's going on. No, you don't. You don't need to go up there and see what's going on because they see you coming. Are you with me? They see you coming and they'll take everything you've got. Just give us a few years in this area. Good letter written in the briefs today. If you want to go home and read your paper, read that. It's good. Because we're one of those folks. We don't have to catch up to the world. The world needs to catch up to those who are one of those, though. Needs to catch up to what the Word of God says. So he says in 1 Corinthians, let's just go down here and get a couple more. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and here's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, and he says, "For as the body is one," here you are, "and hath many members, and all the members of one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." That's who we're one of those with. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." I'm one of you. We're the same. "For the body is not one member, but many. I may be the finger of the body. You may be the arm or the shoulder or the leg. I don't know, but I know we're all members of the same body. If this finger wants to grab something, it has to call a buddy. And its buddy is called thumb. And he says, "Thumb, would you help me pick this up? Because I can't do it by myself." Can you imagine? But God made it so that we could put those two fingers together and we could work together. Folks, it's the same way in the church. That's what he's talking about here. When I need you, I call you. When you need me, you call me. Amen? Yeah. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" No, it's part of the body. "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing?" Huh? I mean, I've lost a little bit of hearing, a little bit of sight here lately. But I can still see you. I can still hear you. I hear you when you say amen real good. "If the whole were hearing, there were no smelling." I love to smell. And that's one of the things I lost in that first COVID deal I had a couple of years ago. Y'all lost some of it too. A little bit of smell. I want to smell my sausage and eggs. Don't you? I want to smell that cake baking in the oven. I want to smell that stuff. That's part of my life. And I can, by the way. "And now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, there where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary." You're necessary, Mel. Linda agrees. She said amen. Thank you, Linda. "And those members," listen to this, "and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness." Really? That's what he said. Are you one of those? I'm one of those. I am one of you. If you're a child of God, I'm one of you. So make me proud. Amen? If we're one of each other, we ought to think more of the other than we do ourselves. That's what he says for us to do. Others are much more important than we. Now, folks, it may take me till 3 o'clock to do this. It's okay, right? Look at Romans 6:13. If you're not there, it's okay. He'll put it on the board. Romans 6:13 says this. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as... Now when I stop, y'all say, those. That's you, right? Because you've already claimed you're one of those. So he says, not unto unrighteousness, but righteousness, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Are you alive from the dead? It's good to be alive. Yeah. People ask me, how are you doing now? I say, I'm alive. I'm right here. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. My first cough and my first drink of water. Things are going good. And so here we go. Now there is no maybe with this message, okay? Be sure and catch that. There is no maybe. There is no I think so. If you ask somebody if they're saved and they say, I think so, you need to talk with them. You do, immediately, not later. It's important. Or when I hear a lot, I hope so. I hope so. You need to be one of those and then you'll know so, right? You are one of those or you're not. No middle ground. To be one of those means you are real and you stand for who you are. Now, as a Christian, the world calls you, and here's the word I used a little earlier, the world calls you crazy. Crazy because you don't fit their mold. And you're not going to fit their mold. If you try to fit their mold, you're wrong. You can't do it. You're crazy. Okay? Just be crazy. Crazy in a good way. Tell everybody about Jesus Christ and you'll be crazy. It'll be okay. You'll be just fine. Okay? So if this world calls you crazy, I'd say, how crazy are you? How crazy can you get? Right? How crazy are you willing for God to be able to use you? I say, put the pedal to the metal. Let's go down the road crazy, right? Yeah. Okay. Now let's talk about your beliefs, because this is where you really find out if you're crazy. Right? This is where you really find out if you're one of those. So what are your beliefs about God? You say that's just too big. I can't understand that. What's the question? It's simple. What are your beliefs about God? Who is he to you? Now your mind's going really fast right now, right? Really fast. Well, let me tell you how the Bible puts it. The Bible puts it this way. The Bible never says that God has to be proven, that there is a God. You cannot prove that there is a God. I'm saying that to you, and it's the facts. It's the truth. You cannot prove God. The Bible starts with, in the beginning, God. Now, if he had been not one of those, he would have said, now, let's just see where he come from first and who his parents were, and we'll see what his records are down at the courthouse. We'll get some information about him, and then we'll be able to say, this is who God is. Well, it doesn't start out that way at all. It just starts out with, in the beginning, God. Now, there is another side to that, a flip side of that, where the fool says in his heart there is no God. Okay, so either there is or there ain't. There is. Amen. That's atheism, by the way. If a fool is an atheist. An atheist is a fool. If it's a true statement, you can say it either way. And an atheist is a fool. Do we love them? Like to see them saved. But if they're going to stay in that condition, they're going to die lost and go to hell. Not where God intends for them to. He loves them. He does. But that's where they're going to go. And we need to be honest with them. If we're not honest with them, we're not one of those. We got them, Annie, up here, folks. We're one of those. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. If that's true, Rob will understand this. It's the same as a watch without a jeweler, right? If he's not God, if there's not a God and he is God, then it's like having a watch with no jeweler. It's like having a train and no conductor. It's like having a garden and no gardener. And I know a lot about that one. It's like flowers with no florist. How sad. The God of heaven looks down and laughs at such atheism. He does. But a God capable of proof, folks, is no God at all. God can't be capable of proof. He is what he is. In fact, he said, when Moses said, who do I need to tell them is sending me down here to do this job? He said, you just tell them I am sent you. Just tell them I am sent you. You say, well, what in the world does that mean? Oh, that's God. I am means he always was, he always is, and he always will be God. That's who I am is. And that's who he is right now. If there was no God, we who are one of those, and I'm one, raise your hand if you're one of them. Yeah, everybody, raise your hand. Yep. We who are one of those would not have the privilege to believe the Bible truths that sparks the life of a child. I believe last couple weeks I made the statement that we got to become as little children. And that's what this means. When you were a child, there was a story that was told you about a little boy who had this belief in him that he could kill a giant. Man, I love that story. I'm taking you back a few years. My teacher told us about that, and I said, whoa, I want to be one of those. I want to be a little fellow with a slingshot. Give me a couple rocks and let me sling them at that big old boy and drop him. Yeah. In other words, she was telling us to go kill that man. Kids. Today, there'd be people saying, you can't tell kids to go out there and kill anybody. Well, you can too. God made sure he got the right rock to do it with. And he did it. He not only fought him, he killed him, folks. They're real nuts. They must be thinking that Goliath came down and said, hey, son, you want to go over to McDonald's with me and have a Happy Meal? Huh? He said, no, Goliath, I'm here for a different reason. I'm here to take you out because you've been an embarrassment to my brothers and sisters over on the other side over there. God's not standing for it. You see, Goliath, I'm just listening to what God said. Because Goliath, I'm one of those. You say, well, that's crazy, thinking that little boy is going to go down there and get him a rock and sling it and kill that big guy. What was he, 8 or 9 foot tall? Big dude. They're not in the NBA that big now. He was big. That's crazy thinking that. I'm crazy. You know why? Because I believed it then as a child, and I believe it now as an adult. That little fella slung that rock. God guided it exactly where it needed to go, and he killed that guy. Did the job completely too, cut his head off. Might as well go all the way. That old boy was getting what God said he deserved, right? So they told us that story. Are you one of those? Do you believe that? Do you believe that a man got the idea that he should build a boat when there'd never been any rain? Yes, the Lord told him to. There was no signs of rain. There were no dark clouds. I can look back toward the west here sometimes and say, man, there's rain's on its way. It's coming. Right there it is. Well, there wasn't any of that. No, but I'm one of those who believes that a man will build a boat. And the weather report that day might have been said, it might have said nothing but sunny skies for the rest of the month. Y'all just relax. Everything's good. We're going to be fine. It's going to be great. Just get out and enjoy the weather. Noah says, I got to build a boat. I got to build a boat because I'm one of those. And I'm listening to the one who told me, build the boat. Build the boat. One of my favorite guys in the Bible is named Daniel. Daniel wasn't in a lion's den. Daniel was in a den of lions. There's a difference. If you were in the lion's den, it could have been empty. Lion couldn't have been home that day. That wasn't so here. This den had lions in it. And Daniel was one of them. You say, really? That's crazy to believe that. No, it's not. If you believe that, that den of lions just become a petting zoo. Because you're one of those. You can believe that that's exactly what happened. And it did. Can you believe that three teenagers and a fourth man got in a fiery furnace so hot it would have consumed anything coming and going and had a church service? I wish things get a little hot around here sometimes. Right? Not anything wrong with a little fire. Now, this fire was a little bit different, but if you're crazy enough to believe that four people can be in a fiery furnace that would have consumed anything, and they walk out with only the ropes burn off their arms, you're crazy. Did I insult you? I hope not. We're crazy, but we're one of those. Are you one of those? I'm seeing some really positive yeses. I'm seeing some heads bouncing. Yes, I am. I'm so glad to be one of those. I am. Do you feel the excitement of being one of those? We should feel the excitement of being one of those. Are you one of those who is willing to carry a Bible to tell the gospel of Christ to the lost of this old world? It gets a little bit more serious right there, doesn't it? And I know you can have it on your phone. I know you can. I'm not that far gone. I sure do love the feel of a Bible, though, don't you? There's just something about it. So I'm not belittling you or anything. If you have your Bible on your phone, I've got Bible on my phone too. But that would be if I was in a situation where I just didn't have my Bible and I wanted to look it up, I could do that. I just like feeling that Bible in my hand. And when I'm standing out there and seeing people coming from their cars to the church, and this is just me. There's nothing scriptural that says you need a KJV in your arm every time you go somewhere, you know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying don't be ashamed to carry your Bible. Don't be ashamed. to carry the word of God, because that's why you're one of those. You are one of those because of what he says in the word of God. Do you see the world as a mission field? The world says you're crazy. There's no mission field. We're just coming to one government. That's all we're doing. That's, if we can accomplish that, everybody will be okay and everybody get along, and there'll be nothing but love and happiness and sweetness and joy, and ooh, it's going to be great. That's crazy. It's not going to happen. It's not. Do you talk with Jesus as though he's real to you? Are you getting a feeling? You're getting a feeling, aren't you? That you're one of those. You know him personally. If you're one of those, you know him personally. Who believes that salvation comes by no other name than the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? There is no other way. The world says you're crazy. There's lots of religions out there, and they have their own way. They may have their own way, but it's not the right way. You say, that's crazy. Well, go ahead and believe that. I'm one of those who believes that the only way to God, if you don't think so, think about this. You go to the tomb of, what's that, Buddha? That dude, Buddha. If you were to go to his tomb and open it up, he'd be there. His bones. If you went to that dude that's wrapped up from Egypt, you know, they wrap them up to preserve them so that they last a long time. You'd find a bunch of wrapping and some sort of a body in it. That's what you'd find. Where are you going to find Jesus at? Not in a tomb. He's out of there. He's gone. There's a difference, folks, in those who believe that everything just happens the way the world wants it to, or the way the Bible says it happens. I say it happens the way the Bible says it happens. You believe that prayer really does change things? When somebody asks you to pray for them, do you know it's going to make a difference? If you're one of those, it does. It really bothered me when some of these news articles, they'd say, well, you have our thoughts and you're in our thoughts and prayers. And some people may say that kind of off the cuff or something, flippantly. But, folks, not so much about your thoughts. Of course, if you're going to pray for me, I'm going to be in your thoughts. I want you to pray for me. We need something more than thoughts and prayers. They'd say, no, you don't. You need prayer. You need prayer. Amen. Yeah. Who believes we can do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit? See, we're covering it all right now. Well, almost. Nothing can be done without the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you ashamed to say Holy Spirit? Or Holy Ghost? No, we're one of those. And if the world wants to laugh at us, let them go right ahead. We're in the group that counts. There's a lot of songs been written about the Lord coming back again. I used to sing one called He's Coming Back. You better get ready. I love that song. I can't sing. He's coming back. You better get ready. He's coming back for his own those. He's coming back for all his children. He's coming back. He's coming back. take us home. Are you one of those? Then you're somebody that's going home. Getting out of this old crazy world. This crazy bunch is leaving this crazy world. Amen? Yeah. I'm willing to be called crazy. I am totally willing to be called crazy. Some people would agree with you totally about that. That's okay. I am one of the crazy ones. God's good to us, folks. Let's be crazy for Him. Let's be one of those, okay? If you're not one of those today, boy, I encourage you to say, Lord, forgive me of not believing in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. And Lord, forgive me, please, today, and I want to be one of those. I do. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the breath we breathe. We thank you, Lord, for making us one of those. You're so good to us. We want to be faithful to you. We want to be loyal to you. We want to be your servants. We want to go out and tell the rest of this old world that there is a way to escape the clutches of Satan and accept a life that is wonderful, marvelous, and beautiful. And that we're looking forward to coming home to the place you've prepared for us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing one verse of this song. What is this? 81, you probably know the song. Let's sing one verse. See, if the Holy Spirit has moved on you and you needed to give your heart and life to the Lord today, you would know it now. You knew it long before we ever sang that one verse of that song. And I would say to you that if He's convicting you, convincing you of your need of salvation, please don't put it off. Don't put it off. Because the midnight hour is on the way. It is. If you've been blessed today, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And come back tonight at 6 o'clock. And somebody said, you're going to preach again tonight? And I said, yeah. How'd that sound? Yeah. Yeah. You see, when you're not able to do it, you miss it, and you get like my dog when it's feeding time. Man, he's all over the place. When I start getting the bowls out to put the dog feed in it, man, he starts jumping, and that tail wraps around his head. And he said, please, 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 give it to me now. Hurry, hurry. I said, hang on. I'm going to put some steak on it. Well, actually, he gets Vienna sausage. I love y'all, and God's been good to us. Tell each other as you leave here today, would you do that?